Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Dear Father, we pray that you would keep your promise this morning, that where your word goes forth, it will not return to you void, but will accomplish that for which you sent it forth. Grant it, Lord, in each of our lives, in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. John the Apostle says, in the last verse of his gospel account, he says these words, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Can you imagine if it was all written down? I'll tell you something. Sometimes I wish it was. Sometimes I wish at least more details were given about some of the accounts that we find in the scriptures. The problem with that is the Bible's already, you know, most of them, depending on the version you get and the size of the print, already over 1,000 pages. And sadly, most Christians have a hard time reading that. Can you imagine if it was 1,000,000 pages? Why, you couldn't even lift it, much less pick it up and read it. And so God has written down for us, by the power of his Holy Spirit, a book that is manageable. But in doing so, in a lot of cases, he had to leave out everything except the bare details of the accounts that are written for us. And our lesson for today is one of those times. Consequently, it's one of these passages that I wish was longer. Couple of pages would be nice to fill in the details of this story. It is the story of the Magi, and it is found for us in Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, where we begin with these words. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, well, wait just a minute for what they're saying. Who are these guys? That's what we want to ask first. Who are these wise men from the east? And you know what the answer is? Frankly, nobody knows. That's the short answer. Nobody knows who they were. Some scholars contend that they were from Persia, others from Arabia, some from Babylon or Media. Nobody knows. That's why there's all these opinions. But one of the best theories is this, at least the best in my opinion, is that they were from Babylon, and they were advisors to the king. They were astrologers, probably. Astronomers, obviously, they're looking up at the stars, up at the sky. And probably they were descended all the way from the time of Daniel, when Daniel was the head advisor to King Nebuchadnezzar after the Israelites had been taken captive and taken to Babylon. So, and Daniel wasn't the only advisor that in that time. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were also three of the main advisors in the kingdom. Daniel was a prophet. He prophesied. We have his book of prophecies. Not only that, but he knew most likely the prophecies of other prophets of his time. And he passed those prophecies on to the Babylonians. And finally, 500 years later, those prophecies that said that when the Messiah was born, there would be signs in the heavens, those prophecies are now fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2. But regardless of who they were, they traveled to Jerusalem. And of course, Jerusalem is where you would expect to find the king of the Jews, the newborn king of the Jews. And they don't find him there in Jerusalem. And so they said, verse 2. And I'm going to read, and I'm going to finish the story The story is not finished in our bulletin, and we only go to verse 6, I think. But we're going to move on and read the entire story here. And it says this. They said, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born. Interesting, he knows who this king is supposed to be. He's born the king of the Jews. Where the Christ was to be born, he asks specifically where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet." And here's one of the prophecies. "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time that the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make careful search for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." And having heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came to the house and saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. All of those very expensive, by the way. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way. And even there, we're not told which country it was. Isn't that interesting? They returned by another way. One of the problems with reading that whole text is my time is half up now. And what I would like to do is make three brief observations about this lesson for us this morning. First is this. Our Lord Jesus was born for everyone. He was prophesied by the Jews, and he was born the king of the Jews, but it was Gentiles who came seeking him, and Gentiles who worshiped him. For God so loved the world, the Bible says, that he gave his only begotten Son. And that ought to be a comfort to you and me, because we're part of the world. We're the Gentiles. We're part, most of us anyway, and we are part of the world. And it ought to be a comfort to know that Jesus came for you and for me, for people like us, for sinful people. That's why he came, was to be our king and to be our savior, to be born for you and me, to die on the cross for all people, for you and me, to take away your sins. Sins that are so dark you thought they could never be whitened. He washed them and made them white. The Bible says in Revelation that there will be a crowd of people that stand before God, and they stand in robes that have been washed white by the blood of the Lamb. Yours have been washed white. So white that you are completely clean. And he did that with his own suffering and his own death upon the cross. So not only did he come for you, but he died for you and for me, for every sinner, for everyone. That's the first observation. He came for everyone. Secondly, that means the second observation. When you are following God's word, when you are living for him, it is likely to be very hard, at least at times, very hard. It may not be easy. Think for a moment about Joseph and Mary. They'd already traveled to Bethlehem, right, for the census. Now, that was several months earlier, no doubt, because we already see Mary and Joseph and Jesus are living in a house by the time the wise men get there. They're not in a stable still. But now they've got to pack up and take a trip of several hundred miles. That is an onerous journey in those days. It's not easy. They didn't sign up for that, you know? When they signed up to be the parents of Jesus, they didn't sign up for that, did they? Well, yeah, they did. St. Paul says this, that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. It was true for Mary and Joseph. Can you expect it to be any different for you? Probably not. Probably not. It's probably going to be hard at times, and you can expect it. Doesn't mean we have to worry about it. We have to wait for them. We just always be expecting hard times. No, but when they come, that should be confirmation in your mind that God's word is true. Because those times will come. That's the second observation. And by the way, how are they going to get there, you know? How are they going to get to Egypt on a carpenter's salary? Well, that brings us to observation number three. When you are living for God, he will provide what you need. He will not ask you to do something for which he will not also make provision. Mary and Joseph are exhibit A. Were they going to get the funds to travel to Egypt? Well, the wise men, they brought the funds. Gold, frankincense and myrrh too. God provided for their need. And God says in Philippians that he will provide all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And he will do it. He will keep his promises. I especially want to mention to some people this morning, because some of you are considering being Christian day school teachers. And if that's true, if that's what you become, you will never make a big salary. Some of you, I suppose you know that, huh? Some of you are considering missionary work. Again, you'll never make a big salary. Some studying for the ministry. If God calls you to a task, he will provide for your needs. You can believe it. You can trust him to do that. Others are considering other vocations. Who knows what God will be asking you to do throughout your lifetime? But you can believe this, that if God asks you to do something, he will provide for your needs. He promises that he will do it. Some of you are considering a vocation where you might have to hide your Christian witness. And maybe you're deciding between a different vocation where you will make a lot less money, but you will be able to have a strong Christian witness. God will not ask you to do something for which he won't make provision for you. These things are written for our learning. And the first thing God wants us to learn is that he is trustworthy. You can lean on him with all your weight and he won't give way. He will make provision for you. Would you please bow your head with me? Father, through your Son, you have promised that whatever we ask in his name, you will give to us, provided it really is in his name. We ask you now that you would keep us in your word and grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may live according to your will. Protect us from the power of the devil and from false teachings. Also defend our lives against all danger. Grant us your peace and help us in all things to recognize your merciful help when it comes. Grant this in Jesus' name, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.